Doctor, you felt he said it?
Barney, very firmly.
I know.
Doctor, you know he said it?
Barney, yes.
Just stay there, he said.
Now his voice breaks in extreme terror.
IT's pounding in my head.
He screams again.
I got G-S-A-W-Y.
I gotta get away from Doctor, here.
Quickly, firmly.
A-L-L right.
A-L-L right.
Calm down.
Barney, still breathless.
Gotta get away.
94, Doctor, calm down.
How can you be sure he was telling you this?
Barney, he speaks now with awe.
His eyes.
His eyes.
I've never seen eyes like that before.
Doctor, you said they were friendly.
Barney, not the leader's.
I said the one looking over his shoulder.
Doctor, how did you know the other one was the leader?
Barney, in careful, level tones again.
Because everybody moved, everybody was standing there looking at me.
But everybody moved.
These levers were in the back.
Or they went to a big board, it looked like a board.
And only this one with the black, black shiny jacket and the scarf stayed at the window.
Doctor, he had slanted eyes.
What did that make you think of?
Barney, I don't know.
I've never seen eyes slanted like that.
He gestures with his hands carefully, in an attempt to describe the eyes.
They began to be round and went back like that and like that.
And they went up like that.
Can I draw it?
Doctor, you want to draw it?
Barney, yes.
Doctor, he hands him the materials.
95, I'm giving you a pad and a pencil. You can open your eyes, and you can draw whatever you want.
You can draw it now.
Go ahead.
Under deep hypnosis, the subject can open his eyes without in any way disturbing his trance. He will have no memory of the event when he is awakened, unless the operator tells him he can.
Barney Hill is no artist, nor does the trance state enhance his ability.
He draws a crude, but graphic sketch, and hands it back to the doctor.
Then he continues the story.
Barney, I'm driving.
Doctor, you're back in the car now?
Barney, yes.
Doctor, you put down the binoculars.
Did you?
Barney, I put them down.
Doctor, yes.
And you got into the car.
Did you speak to Betty?
Barney, I am getting a hold on myself.
I'm saying to myself, remember, you've got fortitude.
You can drive a car.
And I told Betty to look out and the object was still around us.
I could feel it around us.
I saw it when we passed by the object.
When I got in the car, it had swung around so that it was out there.
1-1 no, it was out there.
With conviction.
Yes, out there.
But I don't know where.
With genuine surprise.
That's fun, why?
Doctor, yes, speak a little louder.
96, Barney, he complies.
The puzzlement is now mounting in his voice considerably.
I know route 3.
Now another emotional crescendo.
Oh, those eyes.
They're in my brain.
Very plaintively, please can't I wake up?
This is a plea to relieve him of anxiety.
Doctor, with reassurance.
Stay asleep a little longer.
We'll get through this now.
Barney is showing signs of more emotion.
All right.
All right.
You'll get through this all right.
Follow your feelings.
Tell me.
They won't upset you so much now.
Barney, now his voice becomes dreamy and musing.
They're there.
Isn't that funny, all the woods?
That crazy dog.
She stays in the car all the time.
Isn't that funny?
She stays in the car.
Doctor, she doesn't bark at anything?
Barney, surprised at Dilsey's lack of response.
She just stays there.
Doctor, what about Betty?
Barney, the quiet amazement in his voice is growing now, but his fear has subsided.
I don't know.
Doctor, isn't she saying anything?
97, bar.
He is intense, reliving the scene.
He doesn't seem to hear the doctor.
Apostrophe, 1-1, don't understand.
Are we being robbed?
1-1 I don't know.
Doctor, what makes you think you're being robbed?
Barney, a significant pause,
then, I know what's in my mind, and I don't want to say it.
Doctor, well, you can say it to me.
You can say it now.
Barney, in total or T-Hire men. All with dark jackets. And I don't have anything. I don't have any money. Now with great puzzlement. I don't know. Now back to awe again. Oh, the eyes are there. Always the eyes are there. And they're telling me I don't have to be afraid. Now, as if he's peering ahead on the road. Is that an accident down the road? What's the red? The bright red? Doctor, bright red? Barney, yes. Orange and red. Doctor, what is that? Where is that? Barney, right down the road. 98, Doctor, down the road? Barney, again living with the scene more than responding to the doctor. And I don't have to be afraid. But they won't talk to me. Doctor, who won't talk to you? Barney, the men. Doctor, in the vehicle? Barney, I, no. They're standing in the road. Doctor, there are men standing in the road? Barney, yes. They won't talk to me. Only the A's are talking to me. I don't understand that. Oh, the eyes don't have a body. They're just A's. He speaks now as if he were moving into another state of consciousness, almost catatonic. As if his eyes were fixated, concentrated completely on another pair of eyes. Then, very suddenly, he speaks with tremendous relief. I know. I know. He muses to himself. Yes, that's what it's got to be. He laughs very flatly, very self-reassuringly, and quietly, I know what it is. It's a wildcat. A wildcat up a tree. The relief indicated here is intense, as if he were finding something that had a basis of reality, as if he were searching for some explanation for an imponderable phenomenon. Then, he is not so sure. 99, no. No. I know what it is. It's the Cheshire Cat in Alice in Wonderland. Ah, I don't have to be afraid of that. It disappeared too, and only the eyes remained. That's all right. I'm not afraid. Doctor, you didn't see this? No, I saw it. Dot, Barney, Doctor, you saw it. You're still seeing this man? Barney, again in his own thoughts. The eyes are telling me, don't be afraid. Doctor, that's the leader's eyes? Barney, I don't even see the leader. Doctor, the other eyes. Barney, with certainty. All I see are these eyes. Doctor, the eyes now. Barney, I'm not even afraid that they're not connected to a body. They're just there. They're just up close to me, pressing against my eyes. That's fun. Why? I am not afraid. Doctor, now what's happened to THISVHICLA? Barney, I don't seconds any vehicle. 100, Doctor, it's gone. Barney, it's there. No. It's not gone. But I don't see it. I'm just there. This is, of course, puzzling to the doctor, but he must stay with the patient, live with his thoughts and statements, and try to draw out from him what the patient is seeing and experiencing, without leading him too much and permitting free expression. Doctor, and where are you? Are you in the car? Barney, no. I'm just suspended. I'm just floating about. His voice is now relaxed, relieved. Oh, how funny, floating about. Just floating. I want to get back to the car. Just floating about. Doctor, you're really floating about, or is that just the way you feel? Barney, that's just the way I feel. Doctor, you're still outside the car? Barney, number, Doctor, you're in the car? Barney, I'm not in the car. I'm not near the car. I'm not in the woods. I'm not on the road. Doctor, well, where are these men? Barney, I don't know. 101, Doctor, on the road? Barney, I don't know. He persists airily. I'm just floating about. Now he seems to be suspended. He speaks his thoughts at this point as if he's speaking directly to Betty. Hey, Betty. That's the funniest thing, Betty. The funniest thing. I never believed in flying saucers, but I don't know. Mighty mysterious. Yeah, well, I guess I won't say anything to anybody about this. It's too ridiculous, isn't it? Oh yes, really funny. Wonder where they came from? Oh, Gee, I wish I bad that I wish I bad gone with them.
Doctor, you wish you had gone with them?
Barney, yes.
Ob, what an experience to go to some distant planet.
A pause as he reflects, then, maybe this will prove the existence of God.
Another brief pause.
I asn't that fwny?
To look for the existence of God on another planet?
Now directly as if to Betty, were you scared?
I wasn't.
No, I wasn't afraid. I wasn't afraid, anyway.
Ridiculous, just you and one here talking g about it.
Apostrophe, now his tone changes, as if considerable time has elapsed. Something very disturbing is being passed over. This hints strongly at the amnesia gap.
Well, it looks as if we're getting into Portsmouth Ltle later than expected.
Liss voice trails off. The doctor waits a moment, decides that this should wait for our one evaluation of the effect of the session thus far.
102, doctor, all right.
We'll stop there. You will be calm and relaxed. You will forget everything that we have bad in THLS period together, until I ask you to recall it again. You will forget everything we have talked about until I ask you to recall it again.
The repetition is intentional, to reinforce the command.
It will not trouble you, it will not worry you. You will not be concerned. You will remain comfortable and relaxed and have no pain, no aches, no anxiety.
The doctor then reinforces the cue words for future sessions.
You will recall what I want you to recall, do what I tell you to do. You will forget what has transpired here until I ask you to recall it again.
You're comfortable and relaxed now.
No aches, no pains. No anxiety.
All right, Barney, you may wake up now.
You'll be comfortable and relaxed.
Dot, Barney opens his eyes, a little groggy now. But he comes to full consciousness quickly.
Barney looks at his wristwatch.
Wow.
9:30. Didn't you bring me in here at 8:10?
Doctor, yes.
Barney, where was I?
Doctor, right here with me.
Barney, where are my cig? Was I about to reach for a cigarette?
Doctor, looked that way.
Go ahead and have one.
Barney, I thought I was coming in here, and you asked me to take this seat, this chair, then I was going to reach for a cigarette.
I never reached for it.
103, it, doctor. He is studying Barney's reactions to assure himself that Barney is fully out of the trance.
How do you feel?
Bardotti, I feel fine.
Doctor, good.
Know what happened here?
Bar.
E, you put me into a trance.
I know the purpose of it, but, there is a pause.
Doctor, that's all right.
We'll continue this next week.
A week from today.
The first probe into the unknown bad been made.
But the amnesic veil bad scarcely been pierced.
What was to follow, none of the three knew, and at Bai's point, only the doctor was aware of what had been uncovered.
All through the session, Betty had been waiting, with some apprehension, in the waiting room. She made the pretense of fingering through a copy of the New Yorker and McCall's, but with little success at reading them. The waiting room is down the hall from Dr. Simon's office. Even though the offices are soundproof, Betty was aware of the emotional outbursts Barney had made at the crucial points. Anticipating that this could happen, the doctor had scheduled the hills at a time when the offices were free of other people. Since the building was empty of all sounds, Barney's two major outbursts were intensified by the silence deepening.
It hit me with such, Betty's own close attention to what might be happening, force that I sat there and cried all the time, condition Barney would be in when he came out of the doctor's office.
There were two BIG outbursts, the second not as loud as the first. The rest of the time it had been fairly quiet.
So I waited for him to come UN, Betty Hill recalls.
And I started the wondering what kind of, out.
And when he did, both he and the doctor were smiling full assent, and I was quite surprised.
So I didn't think I should say anything to Barney at all about my crying and things. I just played it by ear, and asked him what happened.
I asked him if he was upset, and he said no, he wasn't.
There was nothing to be upset about, he said.
Barney had no true recall about what had happened in the session except for some vague and fleeting impressions. It did not seem to him that he had been under hypnosis for more than a few minutes. He felt no discomfort at all, and only his watch indicated to him that over an hour and a half had gone by. He was insatiably curious about what had happened during the session, but of course there was no way whatever of knowing until the doctor would give him the instruction to remember. There was no feeling associated with the lost time period. On the way back to Portsmouth, they stopped by the International Pancake House, a splashy, chrome restaurant on Route 1 leading up to New Hampshire, near Saugus. They ordered a heaping breakfast, Barney at that time unaffected by the strains of his session. Betty was pressing Barney for details about how he felt, and though she had been in hypnosis for the test sessions, she was anxious to find out Barney's full reaction to the therapeutic session. Barney reassured her that there wasn't anything upsetting about it, and Betty continued to withhold from Barney the fact that she had been in tears most of the time he was in the doctor's office. Barney felt fully relaxed until they got back to their home in Portsmouth. He then began to have an overwhelming fear of something entirely vague and undefinable, something that he felt he should feel guilty about. He was very frightened about this feeling, as if he had a tremendous pressure in his head. He didn't relate it particularly to the hypnosis. He describes it as something buried in his unconscious, trying to work its way up to his conscious. He got upset enough to start to call the doctor about it, then decided to wait. The thought flickered through his mind that he might not want to go through with the rest of the program, or at least that he ask the doctor to take Betty on next, and give him a rest. But his fears gradually left him, and the anticipation and urge to know, to penetrate the mystery, took over. R.I. 105, Chapter 6. When Barney Hill left the office after the first session that Saturday morning, Dr. Simon picked up the microphone of his tape recorder, and dictated, during the explosive parts of the patient's discussion. He showed very clutch his face, his head, and writhe in considerable agony. When he first described the eyes, he drew circles in the air which were in the shape of the eye that he ultimately drew. He actually drew a curve representing the left side of the face, and drew the left eye on it, without any other detail. When asked which eye this was, he showed some confusion. Then he drew the rest of the shape of the head, and also drew in the other eye and the cap and the visor. And then, as an afterthought, he drew in the scarf. Mrs. Hill was induced by post-hypnotic suggestion for reinforcement in anticipation of the time when she will be interviewed. She, the waiting room for the entire period, was marked emotional discharge. Tears rolled down his cheeks. He would, in, it was obvious in this first step of the procedure that Barney had only partially gone beyond the threshold that had blocked his conscious memory on that night. There was still only a vague and disconnected, dreamlike description of the enormous object appearing roaching him, the eyes of the Fijiuri aboard the ship, a bizarre floating sensation, an apparent accident down the road, and figures in the road with no explainable motive. All through the conscious period of the event, Barney's description was sharp and clear, with attention to the minutest detail. Then at the point he re-experienced Indian head, his description became vague and fragmented detached. There seemed to be two re-106 distance points, one at the moment he raised the binoculars to his eyes, just after he had driven off and the object moved over the car, and the other at some point further down the road, a roadblock. Here the account Barney gave leapt to a comment about arriving home at Portsmouth later than he had expected. All through the account under hypnosis, Barney had indicated his deep-set resistance to the idea of unidentified flying objects. As Barney later said, the likelihood of the object being a product of wishful thinking on his part seemed very slim, indeed. His strong objections to the existence of the phenomenon were deeply set, although his ambivalence about the experience was puzzling. Dr. Simon was orienting his treatment to the recall of the patient's experiences and their accompanying thinking, and feeling, not to the establishment of the reality or non-reality of unidentified objects. Whether the experiences were true in the absolute sense was far less important to the doctor than their existence as a part of the patient's past or present mental life. Throughout the investigation, tests to establish reality were, of course, in progress, but no preliminary conclusions were possible at this time. A great deal of evidence remained to be obtained, particularly from Betty Hill, who had not yet been heard from. The incident had little or no precedent. The roadblock, the figures Barney recalled in the road, and the strange reactions Barney had in the latter part of the session would need further exploration, as well as any possible distortion or fantasy. Barney's pleas to Dr. Simon to let him wake up came at those moments when emotions were resurgent and memories were probably painful. Many recorded cases indicate the subject's resistance to the operator as he attempts to push past the block holding back the conscious memory. Only the operator's patient persistence can overcome the resistance. The doctor's decision to keep Barney in the trance in spite of the intense abreaction, or emotional outburst, was based on the doctor's judgment of how much he could be safely permitted to endure. On February 29th, 1964, the Hills arrived punctually for their appointment, Betty being reinforced again, and Barney remaining in their 107 office for his second therapeutic session. Before putting him in the customary trance, Dr. Simon asked him a few questions in review. "Doctor, well, how have you been, Mr. Hill?" "Barney, I've been fine. Physically, I've been fine, at least. But I have been upset." "Doctor, tell me about it." "Barney, well, last week after I left your office, I began having what I thought was remembrance of what had taken place in the office, and this became quite disturbing to me."
"Doctor, and what did you remember?"
"Barney, remembered eyes. And I thought these eyes were telling me something. And I became alarmed because I thought my very sanity was in jeopardy. I considered calling you after reaching home, but I did not. And my wife and I went out to visit friends, and that relieved the tension."
"Doctor, is that the only thing you remember?"
"Barney, basically, yes. Another interesting thing that seemed to happen, I began to pick out little details about my trip, which I thought was interesting, because I never thought of these things before. I had given no thought to them. Such as stopping in New York State and buying a six-pack of beer and Betty and I taking it to a motel. I thought of how when we were told we could take the little doggy in, and I put her in the bathroom and tied her with a long chain because the bathroom was tiled. In case she made an accident, it wouldn't soil the rug. And these things seemed to come back to me."
"Loss, Doctor, they seemed to be things you hadn't told me, but of course you wouldn't remember that.
But I had told you to remember everything. And these seem to be things that you shipped."
"Barney, oh. I see."
"Doctor, because when you are in a trance you are told to remember everything. And these seem to be irrelevant details. But you hadn't mentioned them, the ones you mentioned now, so maybe you felt a little guilty that you hadn't, although they are probably irrelevant. Speaking of that, had you had much to drink on this trip?"
"Bar. E, that was the only thing."
"Doctor, the six-pack?
The two of you?"
"Barney, yes. We each had a can of beer Sunday evening, and then we retired. And we brought back the four cans left."
"Doctor, I see.
You hadn't been doing much drinking on the trip at all?"
"Barney, number doctor, did this anxiety fade away as the week went along?"
"Barney, it more or less did.
Yes, it did. It became sharpened last night. Last week, Saturday morning, when I got up I felt a little nauseous as if in anticipation of this. Last night, this occurred again."
"Doctor, you are quite concerned about this experience. You'll begin to feel all right about that. You'll be all right. You won't have to worry about your sanity."
109. This reassurance may have hypnotic force since repeated contact with the doctor at times increases suggestibility. Here was a warning that the repressed material would have to be dealt with carefully. It was threatening to break through prematurely in the absence of the doctor. He would make future instructions for amnesia more compelling until things had been worked through to a greater extent.
But tell me, what do you think about this eye business? What do you think of? Does it connect up with anything? Does it suggest any thoughts to you?
Barney, no, it doesn't.
Well, yes, one might say the only connection it does have is a foreboding type of effect. Of betraying. Of having been given a warning. This is the only kind of effect it has on me.
Doctor, you feel you have been given a warning?
Barney, yes.
Doctor, ever have that thought or feeling before?
Barney, no, I've never had anything like that before.
Doctor, about hypnosis, do you feel the A's play a part in that?
Barney, no, I don't think so.
Doctor, well, L, is, you wanted me to take B at Y, and T ack you off the hook for a WHE.
That it?
The doctor refers to a brief mention of this Barney had made as he ent read the office.
Barney, well, that's what I thought.
110, doctor, do you recall the A's as part of the session we had? Or was it something that just hung over with you?
Barney, the eyes just seemed to hang over from that.
Doctor, well, that was the last thing we got to. It was last Saturday, and it did carry over a bit.
I'll see to it that you don't have that anxiety.
We'll resume. He is now preparing to put Barney in the deep trance state again.
You don't remember now where we left off.
We'll go back and I can probably take some of that over again.
Let's go back a bit before the eyes came into the picture.
The doctor gives the cue words.
Barney's eyes close immediately, and his head nods forward on his chest.
You are deeper and deeper and deeper asleep.
Fully relaxed, and deeper and deeper and deeper asleep.
You are in a deep sleep.
You have no fear, no anxiety.
And now you will not be troubled by anything you remember.
But you will remember everything.
You will remember everything.
All your feelings and all your actions.
They will not trouble you now, because they are here, with us.
They will not trouble you, and I am here.
The repetition is to reinforce the instruction.
It may or may not be needed.
Your sleep is deeper and deeper. You are completely relaxed.
Far, far asleep.
Deeper and deeper asleep.
Now you will remember everything that we have gone over about your trip from Montreal.
You will go back a bit, before you had the experience with the eyes.
And you can begin to tell me about the experience with the unidentified object.
You can start a little before we left off.
Wherever you feel you freshly remember something.
Barney, his voice is again flat and colorless. He is fully in trance.
I'm remembering being in the woods, parked.
And I have Delcie.
And I'm walking her around the back of the car.
And Betty had asked if I 111 would leave Delcie out.
And Betty is standing off to the left of the car / with the binoculars, and she is looking at this unidentified flying object.
And I am standing looking up and down the highway, because I am looking for other cars.
And I give Betty the dog's chain, and I ask her to let me see with the binoculars.
And where we just left.
And I only see a plane flying in the sky.
And I tell her this is a plane, and it is on its way to Montreal.
I want to hurry and get back to the car and return to Portsmouth.
And Betty gets into the car, and she says, isn't that strange?
And I'm driving along, and she said, it's still out there.
And I think it's strange, and think it must be a Piper Cub.
And it's not making any sound.
And I want to hurry up and get away, because this is strange, this strange thing flying around.
And that it can see us.
And it is late at night, and doctor, I believe very strongly I feel I'm exposed.
In what way do you feel exposed?
Barney, one feel I the sky.
I'm in an exposed situation where my car lights are very bright.
I am.
And I know this object is flitting around and I think of a fly flitting aimlessly in the sky, with no pattern, as it is hovering over something it is about to light on.
And I think this and its dark where thing out there is just hovering around.
And Betty is telling me to stop again.
And I do.
And I said, Betty, what are you trying to do?
Take me see something that isn't there?
And I became very angry with her.
Because I think this is a plane,
something that we can explain. And one believe, rather feel, that she is trying to make me think it is not.